The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Texas Show. It's the show that Mark Twain once called smarter'n a blue jay what can talk possum and faster'n a naked fat man riding a bolt of lightning.
So here's your plain-spoken homespun host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. And guess what? This is what we call hour two. In hour one, as you know, we had Sidney Powell. We hope you didn't miss that. But in hour two, look who we have. Our friend, Kevin McCullough. Kevin, welcome and happy new year to you, my friend.
Thank you, Mr. Metaxas. And it's an auspicious day in the McCullough world because we begin a brand new broadcast on my flagship station tonight in New York on AM 970. The Answer. It's called Radio Night Live. And we're taking our weekend kind of popular substance show and we're moving it to five nights a week. So it's kind of cool. And I'm pretty excited.
Are you kidding?
It's a busy day. I'm glad I got to be with you. Yeah.
Holy cow. Congratulations.
Right.
And it's about time, Phil Boyce. Hey, listen, let me just ask you. So if people want to catch you on the radio, other than when you come on this program, and frankly, when you're on this program, you're at your best because iron sharpens iron, man. I challenge you. But seriously,
well, to that point, I hear from a ton of Eric Metaxas listeners every time we sit down and talk together. So I'm grateful for
goal.
The chance to do it. Yeah.
That's well, listen, people, you know, a lot of times people say to me, thank you so much for having me on your program. And I think you don't understand. I'm having you on my program because I want to, because I think my audience would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And that's just a simple fact. I think, man, these are, you know, there are a number of people like you that you may be known in the New York area, but there are a lot of folks around the country that haven't been blessed by you. And I thought if I could change that, hey, I'm going to go for it. So tell people, before we get into the events of how de Blasio and Satan are trying to destroy America and also Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and a couple of other communist Democrats. But before we get into that, I want to ask you, your program, if people want to hear you, suddenly now you're telling us you are on five nights a week in New York City.
Well, I do a whole bunch of other things. And you know what they say about people that do a lot of things? They're not good at any of them. So I must be terrible at them. But if they want to listen to like my news and opinion show, that's weekdays at 3 on AM 570, The Mission, and FM 102.3 in New York City. There's also a syndicated version of that goes out. And then in the evenings now, we're going to do a little bit of a different kind of throwback to old school classic radio. You remember when Larry King would go to the steakhouses and he'd order the martini and he'd sit there with the kingmakers of the day and they talk about stuff from
No.
kind of a low key. Well, this was the fabulous era of talk radio. That's what talk radio was in
That's
the
wonderful.
The heyday. So we're kind of reinventing that for the New York level. We've been doing that on Saturday night syndicated for a while, but we're doing
Yeah.
it on a New York exclusive basis. Weeknights at 7 o'clock. We are very excited about it. Tonight we have Janice Dean, who's in a literal spitball fight with Governor Cuomo.
Oh, I know.
Big editorial today. She's going to come on our show and she's going to go in depth with us. And that's the beauty of not being a drive time focus show, which is what the other show is. This is a longer form. I can get into the trenches with people and really examine some things.
Yeah.
On a much more relaxed but in-depth scale. And I'm looking
right.
forward to it.
I love it. Well, congratulations. I want to talk to you, obviously, about what is happening right now. And there's such confusion. I said in the last hour that what fascinates me, there's sometimes I'm puzzled, deeply puzzled by how so many people see things differently. It's like the OJ trial. You know what I mean? Like some people were thrilled that he got acquitted. Other people were like, what? What do you mean? Why does a murderer and a decapitator get acquitted? I don't get it. That's how I feel in this country right now. You have people that seem to think that, you know, cheating in a presidential election, that can happen. That works. We don't want to make too much of an issue of it. And I don't understand that. And I always wish I were wrong. I'm not joking. Like, I wish somebody could show me, Eric, it's not as bad as you think. But I feel like I've seen enough evidence that I cannot really, I can't unsee it. So what am I missing?
Well, I don't think that you're missing anything, but I echo your feeling of being rather disturbed by the lack of response that it draws from anyone. Now, you can kind of like write off Democrats and say, well, they're the opponents of the president. So on some level, you don't expect them to, come out and say, hey, let's do something that will overturn the election for us. But you know who I'm really disturbed by is Mitch McConnell, John Thune, a number of others that have literally said, Joe Biden won, it's time to move on.
Listen, I've said it on another program where I want to be very clear for those people scoring at home. Mitch McConnell is a skunk. He has been a swamp creature for a long time, and it is shameful, but it is unfortunately not that surprising coming from Mitch McConnell. Tom Cotton, I want to go soak my head. I don't get it.
And just to be clear, I'm very grateful for what Leader McConnell has done on judges. We've gotten 300 really good judges put through in Trump's term because of the way they work together. But I don't understand this. Senator Cotton, Senator Thune, other people that I've had respect for and still do on some level, I just don't understand. And let's take a barometer here. So 1 month ago, Eric, you had one lone House member, Mo Brooks, that said, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to object on January the 6th. And since that time, you've had these hearings in state legislatures. You've had the Giuliani team. You've had the Philip Klein team. You've had Sidney Powell's team and to a lesser degree, Lynn Wood's team. But you've had these four different kind of strategic, legal, big time operations that have done an amazing job of digging into raw data, having to go find evidence and then go present it. Now, courts, everybody says, well, courts have ignored you 60-1. That's true. And most of those courts were overseen by judges who were elected and that are, in fact, politicians themselves. The fact that the Supreme Court punted on the Texas case was not necessarily surprising because legal minds I spoke with said standing is a big deal. They didn't seem to think that Texas had it in that instance. There were others that I spoke with that disagreed. At minimum, your jurisprudence worldview would say, you know, you had two different viewpoints on that. And one of them overwhelmingly won the day at a 9-0 and 7-2 vote. So what does that leave us with? These legislatures then went to having these wide open meetings, some of them televised, some of them put on just on online networks where you had to go watch it, you know, on an RSD or RNL or networks I've never even heard of. But the good thing about that is that it began to filter some of the findings of some of these investigations back into the hands of state legislators and eventually congressional legislators. And so now 1 month after Mo Brooks said, I'm going to object, you now have not zero senators, which is what you had then, but you have 12 to 15 senators that may come forward and speak up. You have not one congressional representative, but maybe as many as 150 that are now going to object. So on January 6th, we're going to see something that we have not seen in my lifetime, which is a constitutional challenge to electoral slates that seem to be very problematic, if not outright irregular or illegal in some instances. And we can go into one specific proof that I have that I wrote about over the weekend at townhall.com that they don't even need witnesses or anything else for. It's in the actual data that the state of Georgia certified. All you have to do is go look at the actual numbers and you will find the proof of the irregularity. And I would say the fraud that was committed in that state alone. But what other states have that same data problem? I think Ted Cruz is genius in proposing a 10-day investigative period for everyone to come forward and to bring forward a report and then let the Congress vote on it and let the people watch the Congress vote on it so that the people hold the congressional representatives responsible for what they in fact knew. And we knew they knew it because they did it in front of us.
Whoa. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, just I know.
It's a lot. No, You just said something there. I've been hearing about this. You know, I'm not as tuned in as some, and yet more tuned in than others. And I try to understand what's possible, because there are people that they spin out these, you know, Baroque Rube Goldberg scenarios to victory. And I simply don't I don't put much stock in that. But what you just said about what Ted Cruz has planned, when you come back, when we come back, I want to talk to you more about that, because that seems it seems historic is what it seems. We'll be right back with Kevin McCullough. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Kevin McCullough. You knew him as Vote Stradamus back when we had voting in America. Remember that? Isn't that fun? Chris Himes called him Vote Stradamus because in those days we would vote. It was one man per vote. And by man, I mean man or woman. And typically each vote counted about the same as the other votes. And you could predict sometimes if you were a political genius. And Kevin was a political genius. But now that we have been, you know, given over to big tech and big pharma and the satanic corruption of the New World Order, you know, you can't really predict voting because there is no voting. But we're still trying to change that, aren't we, Kevin?
Well, I would like us to just get back to the very simple concept of adding up votes, not subtracting votes. And I would like votes to be one vote per one person. And I think
now that is crazy talk. Things, you could go to jail for that kind of talk.
It's just
you're insane. You need to think before you speak. Now, look, let's go back here. You just said in the first segment, we're in segment number two right now. You said that Ted Cruz, who is probably one of the most brilliant constitutionalists alive, he came up with this idea of having hearings. Talk about that, because we know that tomorrow is the vote in Georgia. And then on January 6th, which of course is Wednesday, there's going to be what exactly? What do we call it? Is it at noon? What time does it start?
I don't know the constitutional term, but I will say, first of all, about tomorrow, if you are in the state of Georgia and you are listening to this conversation, you must get out and vote. Those two Senate seats may be the only bulwark standing between freedom and tyranny. And it is important that those two Senate seats not be ceded over to the party that has the other two branches of government, possibly. But as to Wednesday, this is going to be interesting because, as I said in the last segment, I've never seen it. It's never happened in the modern era. It's never happened in my lifetime. I don't know what we're going to see. They're going to start voting on the slates of electors and affirming the Electoral College findings. And at some point, one of them is going to raise their hand and say, I object. And when that happens, if they have a House member and a Senate member that both do it, then they're going to go into at least a 2-hour window of discussion, bargaining, speech making, evidence presenting, all this other stuff per objection. They could object to up to all 50 slates of electors and make the same argument over and over again and say, if these machines were used in all of these states, then we have problems with all these slates. But what Ted Cruz has done, and there were about 1,000 ways he could have done this wrong. He could have said, we're going to object on any number of other grounds. And what he said was we're not going, we will object and we will withhold our approval of the slates unless you grant us a 10-day investigative period by which we can take a forensic look at the data and other things across all 50 states. Who that is reasonable is not going to be okay with such a transparent outcome. And I think when you're making the case that nearly 80 million voters are saying this election was robbed, this is a reasonable, approachable solution to the problem that all people of all sides should have an inherent interest in. Now, whether they do or not is a different story, but on its face, this is reasonable. It's not extreme. It's very, very competent. And from a constitutional standpoint, it holds up. He's doing it on precedent. In 1877, they had a similar issue where they actually said, let's hold up everything. Let's do this investigation.
Excuse me, if memory serves, I was just a kid, but I think it was Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden who were duking it out for the White House. Is that, am I getting that correct? I think you weren't even born.
Yeah, I have no cognitive memory of this at all. I mean, I know with the missing hair, I can appear a bit older than my age, but
I just have a faint memory of hearing Rutherford B. Hayes' voice on the wireless.
Just love the fact that the people that are opposing, and there's been a lot of congressional members that have come out and called Cruz all kinds of horrible names in the last 24 hours since he put this idea forward. They all think he's just going rogue. The beautiful thing about all of this is that this is all constitutional. The challenge to the electoral slates is constitutional. The using the Senate and the House to both challenge them, it's constitutional.
But if you're trying to destroy the U.S. Constitution, that's a bummer.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, can I get into one?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I want to get into one area that I really would like to see Cruz's people really focus on, because over the weekend, a team of data scientists testified before the Georgia Subcommittee on the Judiciary handling elections in their state. It was an official meeting of the subcommittee. Both members of both parties were there, and they had this data scientist team that came in and they looked and they examined, and these guys are top notch. One of them was a data analyst for the U.S. Navy and the CIA, and still works for now one of the big four tax firms that's just looking at fraud all day long. The other guy is someone that analyzes systems for people across mostly the financial sectors where they really have high stakes and making sure fraud doesn't get committed. And the two of them compiled this report. I've got it linked, by the way, on Twitter. It's only 22 minutes to watch the entire presentation. I would encourage everyone to download this, look at it, see it, watch it, come to be familiar with it, because what they argue in a very succinct way is that you don't need witnesses, you don't need proof of foreign access, you don't need proof of fudged ballots or anything else to prove that the voter numbers in Georgia are actually fraudulent. And then they broke it down in three simple steps. They said, here's the data from the Georgia Secretary of State's office. It mirrors the data of the New York Times, which came from the group called CITL, which is one of those intermediary companies that we all just heard for the first time a couple of weeks ago. They were the ones sending the information out. But the fact that the New York Times information and the Georgia Secretary of State information matches means this is the data that they certified their elector slates with. Now, what did that data show? Across the board on election night and in the day following, there are numbers of times in multiple counties where instead of adding votes by whatever composition they were coming in at, Donald Trump actually had negative numbers come in. Now, in a truly compilation type of process, like an election, you're never dealing with negatives. That number should never go below the line of negatives. And yet frequently in 10-minute intervals, from different counties, and they didn't even use Fulton County. They went into three of the smaller counties and demonstrated more than enough negative votes taken away from Trump that would give him more than the margin that the certification was finished by. This is outright evidentiary fraud. It's baked into the record. It is right there, hidden in plain sight. And all someone has to do is go pull it up and take a look at it.
And is this?
I want to know how many more states have the same thing. And Joe Biden had no negative votes taken away throughout the process of the counting.
So my question is this why President Trump called Secretary of State in Georgia Raffensperger yesterday or the day before because of this information?
There is a lot of speculation about why the president did that phone call, and specifically why he says about, I think, 28 minutes into it, come on, Raffs, find the votes. I think he was there. The speculation is that the president was giving him another olive branch to come clean, because it is a federal crime to certify fraudulent election results in a federal election. This is a crime if you do it, and you do it knowingly. And if you refuse to take a look at it, you're going to have a hard time making the case that you didn't do it knowingly. When this type of data comes out and you've got this level of expertise and you don't need anything further than that, I think Ted Cruz's offer is a very reasonable one. I think it's one that the nation will embrace.
Well, it's wonderful that he's doing that. Now, if he were to do that, and I hope that he does, many of us are fans of Ted Cruz, and I've had the privilege of meeting him a bunch of times. I think that this is what's called leadership. Remember leadership? It's called leadership. And he's playing by the rules, but he is not so wedded to the rules that he just goes with the flow. He says, by the way, according to the rules, we can do this. Holy cow. Now, my question, I guess, is if he does this, and this would be January 6th, he would make this announcement. That means we would have 10 days in January. That's the title of somebody's book in the future. 10 days in January, where we are going to, as a nation, look at, it seems to me, some very, very ugly stuff. It's just like pulling up the floorboards and you're going to see termites and much
mildew
worse.
And rot and all kinds of stuff.
And we need to confront this because you cannot deal with it if you don't confront it. But that would push us all the way till the 17th of January or the 18th of January. We're going to go to a break. I want to explore this further with my fascinating friend, Kevin McCullough. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
To all my sorrow. By tomorrow, I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City. So tired.
Strolling along country road. Folks, welcome back. I should remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that on this program, we have a sponsor. It's called MyPillow.com. We can also go to MyStore.com. If you use the code ERIC, you get a whopping discount, literally equivalent to the discount that I get if I use the code ERIC. It's huge. Hey, there's nothing funny about this. This is my sponsor, Mike Lindell. And so if you go there, you can order Christmas gifts that you didn't yet buy for those people that they come up in your mind and you realize I really should get them a gift. And you can also buy Christmas gifts for the next Christmas, which is coming up any month now. Let's face it, we're in a new year. So I want you to go to mypillow.com or mystore.com. There's stuff at mystore.com that if you use the code ERIC, it's practically free. For example, Kevin McCullough, I don't know if you know about this, but when you go to mystore.com, they've got all of my books almost, but
yes,
they've got some super kooky products. There's a thing. It's a poultry rub for when you're cooking poultry.
I love to rub the poultry.
It's called Chairman of the Bird. I'm sorry, but like that's like the greatest. Like I could die. It's so, that is, when I read that, I said I wanna shop at mystore.com just because that's there. Whoever, you know. Anyway, okay, we need to talk about the election. You were just saying this idea that Ted Cruz has had to do a 10-day hearing, whatever it's called. Why is it 10 days? Tell us about this.
Well, I don't know exactly his thinking on the 10-day need. Obviously, it still concludes things before an inauguration would be scheduled to take place on the 20th. But I think his main goal is to be as transparent and to make it as accessible as possible. So what I would probably foresee is an investigation being done by way of a hearing or a series of hearings, and you have those blasted on the news networks, and people are just bringing up the same things that they've been presenting in the state legislatures across the board. And you can have your discussion with Sidney Powell about the Dominion evidence, and you can talk to Rick Grinnell about the dead voters, and you can talk to Giuliani about the hijinks in Philadelphia and the blank ballots and all the, you know, the unsigned ballots. Those are all legit. Bring in the data scientist team from Georgia as well and have them present what they presented in that subcommittee this weekend. But the most important part of this is make sure that the people hear it, that the people's representatives know that it exists, because we've largely gotten to this point right now where people have been able to say, I don't see anything, I don't hear anything, I'm not going to look. And at the end of the day, you can't be 3-year-olds and run the country.
You know, it wasn't nice of you.
Do the hard stuff.
it was not nice of you to make fun of Leader McConnell in the way that you just did. Look, first of all, it was an
no personality to that response.
It was a Frank Gorshin level impression of Leader McConnell. I'll say that much. But I do want to say that you're right, that if we do this, we would be able to create something of interest. Now, the problem, Kevin, you know this and I know this, is that we're living in such dark times that the media, which used to air this kind of stuff, may elect not to air it. That's part of the problem, because we know that even when Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and Jenna Ellis gave their initial presentation, nobody covered it except, I think, Fox News and or maybe it was even just the Fox Business Channel. I can't remember. But I mean, this is something you want most of America to see.
I think because it will involve lawmakers that are willing to use their platform, and probably because it's official nationwide business. This is a joint hearing between the two houses of Congress. It doesn't get more real than that. I think that they're going to be compelled to cover it, not legally or anything like that. I just think that they're going to have a lot of people that are going to say, no, we need to know what happens here, because this isn't just the attorney for the president or just his legal team. This is actual people that have, responsibility for guiding and running the country. And this is what we have to do. And by the way, the Democrats run a really bad risk of causing their case to crumble quickly if they don't say this is reasonable and, yeah, we probably should take a look at it. I mean, they're not going to want to do that.
But they're going to do anything. They're going to say, you know, it's like Eddie Haskell in Leave It to Beaver, or like the devil. I mean, you know, if like you're trying to cast out a demon and you ask its name, it'll basically say anything it can before it has to do, you know, before you get it. And this is what you're dealing with now, that the Democrats will say anything. They will accuse you of racism. They will accuse you of, in this case, they will simply say this is a mockery. They will solemnly say this is a mockery of the democratic process. You're trying to undermine democracy. In other words, if you don't have an argument, that's what you do. That's what people who are desperate do. Not just Eddie Haskell and the demons, but, you know, anybody. And that's what the Democrats, they've been doing this for some time.
No, they have. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi just got reelected yesterday by only 2 votes as speaker. And oddly enough, Kamala Harris got sworn in as a senator yesterday. And, you know, when Barack Obama won his election, he abdicated his Senate seat on November the 16th. So,
well, why take any chances?
Weird things going on there.
But, you know, when you know how corrupt this election was and how much cheating went on, you know, you want to hedge your bets, because chances are the truth will prevail. We hope not, but perhaps it will. And then she'll have to settle for being only a corrupt senator when she could have been a corrupt vice president or a corrupt president, which is a pity. Okay, we're going to be right back talking more with Kevin McCullough.
And went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by.
How many more talking about voter fraud? Kevin, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're my guest. I should let you talk.
No, I was just curious how much longer you need.
We need you forever, man.
All right.
You to die. Don't go away.
No, okay. I'll do my best.
If we can just get one more segment out of you.
Okay.
You don't have a lot to say, but you're just fun to talk to. So you have a lot to say. So let me simply ask you more about what you were just saying. We're talking about Ted Cruz potentially this Wednesday calling for an investigation. How will that go down? In other words,
happen when they formally meet to start taking the confirmation or the affirmation of the electoral slates. And from my understanding, they go state by state and they vote on them state by state. It's a joint meeting of both houses. So it's one big universal gathering of all the senators and the congressional members together. And you need, you need one. There's a lot of swamp monsters in there. You need, one senator and one house member to raise an objection to throw into the brakes.
You they need may, one. They may you need one member. You need one house member, one senator, and a 5-gallon bucket of penicillin if you want to be in that room. That's my opinion. But let me just say that this could. I guess whenever this kind of stuff happens, it takes a long time. Like they go through these, you know, the procedure. So you're telling me this is not going to happen within the first hour, is what you're saying?
That I don't know. And you know, Senator Cruz may rise to be recognized and say, "I want to put an immediate proposal before the floor," and you know, they could vote on that and then immediately break up for the 10-day investigation. I don't know how it's going to go down. But if they don't agree to the 10-day look into things, then I would expect that the Republicans that have, and by the way, there are a couple of House Democrats that have joined them, Vernon Jones being one of them, and you know, some conscientious good people. But I think that if they reject the idea of taking the 10-day look, then I think that they're going to take a 100-hour look into things, because you get up to 2 hours per state of slate that you object to.
Now, can somebody object to the slate from a state that is not his or hers?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Okay, so theoretically, well, 100 hours works out to roughly 10 days anyway. I mean, if you're going to play that game, I guess I'm still trying to figure out who votes on whether this gets to happen?
I think it's majority vote. So in the Senate, and they would go to their own chambers. The Senate would easily carry it based on the delegation as it's currently comprised. The House would be tougher for Republicans to win on the grounds, but they can still get the 2 hours for each slate that they challenge. So all they have to do is have the challengers to muck up the works and get the time.
But in the Senate, I mean, if we've only had 11 senators willing to go along with Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, there are, I don't know, how many Republican senators do we have?
Well, you've got 50 at current. And depending
okay,
on
but, okay, let's say it's 50. How is it that you think that you're going to get 50 of them to vote for this?
You don't have to vote for taking the challenges. You can just challenge the
slate. No, not the challenges. I'm talking about this proposal that Ted Cruz is putting forward.
Well, I think he's got to be persuasive, and his proposal is so reasonable, you would have a hard time understanding why even Democrats would oppose it if they want to have the confidence of the people. Now, that's a big if. Like, if Joe Biden and Kamala want the people to not, in all of history, say, you guys were crooked, you oversaw the same thing as what the dailies did in the 1960s, you got elected on crooked grounds, you stole the election, you're a footnote in history, you're president asterisk. If you don't want to be that,
wait a minute. You think they care about that at this point? You've got to be kidding.
No, I don't.
Who do you think you're talking about?
I don't think that
they will say, if you think of the Kavanaugh hearings, they will say and do absolutely anything. They will play the race card. They will say, and they've already said anything that they need to say to discredit people who believe in, you know, a democratic process. So the idea that we're going to get 50 senators to vote with Cruz on this, if you can only get 11 to stand up, you're telling me that the other 39 and some Democrats might. In other words, it's not, it doesn't matter to me that Ted Cruz is a great speaker and that he has facts on his side. It seems to me that there are enough Democrats that absolutely don't care. They have taken the temperature of the body politic. They are cynical. They know people are just going to go along with it, and they don't care. So they will say anything they can to get out of it. And for sure, there have to be a few people like Mitt Romney who are going to go along with them. They're going to say, this is a travesty of justice. The American people deserve to have their president. You know, it's about time. I just don't understand why what we know to be reasonable, you think half of the Senate will also think reasonable.
I don't know that they will, but if they don't, we still get 100 hours if the senators and the House members stand up. And I think you might even see Cruz propose it. It gets tabled. They go into a few of the challenges and they decide at that point, you know what, there's something here we really do need to deal with. And then they decide to invoke the 10-day investigation. In either case, I think the idea that the people are going to get greater exposure, and I don't know entirely what the president and the vice president have up their sleeves in terms of getting witnesses and evidence into the hearings. There's pretty much no rules about it. You can have anybody introduce, you know, any amount of that once you go into the challenge session. I would look for, you know, the best arguments possible to be made. At the end of the day, does any of this work, Eric? I don't know. And you and I have had a conversation about this a lot. We are fighting with all that is within us for truth to be told. At the end of the day, God may say, you know what? Joe Biden's going to be your president for the next 4 years. And at that point in time, we as believers, we as Americans, we as people who believe in the rule of law and good and evil and all those important priorities, we're going to have a much bigger issue to deal with at that point. And that is, will we stand even when there's a price to be paid for it that is greater than what we're seeing right now? And I don't know if that's the outcome. I'm willing to leave it all in God's hands, but we must wring ourselves out of every drop of sweat working towards the goal for what is true, just, and good in this cause. And I do not relent.
Do you have another 3 or 4 minutes? Otherwise, we're going to let you go.
Yes, we can do another 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, folks, we'll be right back. Folks, I'm talking to Kevin McCullough. Kevin, I just want to say what you just said about, you know, what were to happen if this doesn't work and Joe Biden is seated. I don't think that's going to happen because the number of people ardently praying and fasting for justice to be done is so significant that it would be tough for me to believe that at that point, God would let this country go down that path. Now, God can do whatever he likes, and I will praise him no matter what he does. But if Biden is seated, I don't know that I, as an American, am obliged to recognize him as the president if I actually believe it was a fraudulent election. In other words, it's one thing to say, I hate Trump, he's not my president, in 2016. That's ridiculous because, of course, he was your president because guess who elected him? America. But at this point, if all of this evidence continues to come out, that's going to put us in a very strange place.
It is odd that the people who are right now telling everyone to sit down and shut up are the ones who for 4 years strung out theories after theories after theories about why President Trump couldn't possibly be a legitimate president. And there wasn't one millionth of the evidence backing those claims that we have in spades. I saw a meme last night. It cracked me up. The Democrats accidentally ended up building a wall on the southern border using all the ballots that they didn't use for the election. But, you know, the reason something is funny is because there's an element of truth to it. The mounds and the growing mounds and the more sophisticated evidences that are being put forward. And the problem is you've only had 60 days. You've only had this little tight, concise window of time to try to undo probably 4 to 12 years worth of sowing in systems that were illegal, that were perfected, that were grown over time, that were silently put in here, a bribe paid off an elected leader here, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you heard about a week ago that Dominion was saying, you know, we're going to sue everybody that's talking bad about our stuff. Well, there's a new batch of videos now from their VP, Eric Coomer, where he actually has admitted that his machines can connect wirelessly to a number of hubs and external ports. We kind of knew this because that's what some of the forensic people are telling us as they look at the machines. But that's my point. We have just not had enough time. And is 10 more days enough? I don't know. But we have not had enough time to do what Sidney Powell would do in a normal prosecution, where she would come in and she would lay out the case stem to starboard without any misses in the chain links along the way. She's had to go into hyperdrive to try to get what she has put together. And by the way, it's very compelling. But even if you go to the simple evidences, like what the data scientists in Georgia proved over the weekend, and they were able to flip the state counting only three counties and not including any results from Fulton County in those results. That's how close that state was, even with the cheating. Eric, there's got to be, and I'm wondering in the back of my head for the last number of weeks, how long has California been completely corrupted? Are they really as hard left leaning as their votes turn out to be, or has this system
been baked in for a while? You're a father, and I'm a father. We teach our kids lying is wrong, stealing is wrong. If we do not stand up to this in America, we should keep our mouths shut and die. We have nothing to say. This is one of the most basic things. You cannot have a society or a culture worth anything if you don't teach those things, live those things, believe those things. That's where we are. And those who want to shrug, they can shrug. I thank God that you're not one of them, and I'm not one of them. And by God's grace, we'll see what happens. Kevin, my friend, thank you so much.
It should be a very interesting 10 days in January.
Buckle your seatbelts, folks. It's going to be a bumpy month.